This afternoon, when we read together what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ spoke to his four disciples, here in Mark 13, he gave four repeated exhortations to be watchful, to be on guard. Now, in the ESV, verses 9 and 23 and 33 speak of be on guard, whereas the focal point of our reading this afternoon, verse 5, is the first occurrence of this particular verb, to be watchful, to be on guard, to see to it. And so, Mark 13, verse 5 reads, Jesus began to say to them, see that no one leads you astray. Be watchful, be on guard. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we've gathered together for worship in a second time in a manner that we are not used to. And this is now the fourth worship service where the majority of us are attending via live stream. It's foreign to us. It's difficult. It disrupts our day of rest. It feels almost less like a Sunday. Therefore, almost less beneficial for preparing for the week to come. And don't we need it now more than ever? As numbers continue to mount, as social distancing becomes the norm, we feel the need for hearing God's word and the comfort of the gospel all the more. And it's also a day that has been set apart as a day of prayer by the churches. For a time of affliction that has impacted the churches across the country. And has given reason for our churches to dedicate this day to pray specifically about the coronavirus reality that is sweeping the country. God promises to hear the prayers of his people. Coming before his throne, broken and contrite, asking forgiveness, seeking his help and support. There's a powerful reality in the prayers of the saints rising before him. And yet we do not gather physically for this day of prayer. But we remain physically isolated from one another. It's easy for us to become discouraged by this. It feels as though society is shutting down around us. It seems as though the whole world is coming to a halt because of this virus. How can such a thing happen? To the point where it seems wise to not even physically gather in a church building anymore. And then we don't even know for how long. How long exactly will this last? To what extent must we carry on in this situation? And then we open our Bibles. We turn to Mark 13, the reading this afternoon. Dire words. Wars, earthquakes, famines, tribulations, persecutions, trials, darkness. What comfort in this? What encouragement and words given to Jews 2,000 years ago for us Canadians today. Can we take these words and say that we're in the end times? Can we say that the trials of today are worse than the trials of yesteryear? Do we brace ourselves for a future that might only get worse? How do we take such a passage and relate it to today? On a day of prayer in particular. Brothers and sisters, these words were spoken by our Lord and Savior for the benefit of his church. They were spoken to a select few, not to the general populace. Jesus did not come with fire and brimstone, proclaiming the end of the world as we know it. He came to preaching the kingdom of heaven, how it is at hand. A call to repentance, to belief. He came with the gospel of salvation. And he had entered Jerusalem triumphantly, in power, with authority, that week to prepare for his ultimate sacrifice, death on the cross. So the words of our reading this afternoon are not meant to inspire fear, terror, worry, and distress. They were rather given to encourage the leaders of God's people to be watchful, to be on guard, to be looking carefully, intently toward the things that were happening. You see, beloved of Christ, our Lord gives the same command 4 times in this instruction. Be on guard, be watchful. The command in our focal text, verse 5, is the same as in verse 9 and verse 23 and verse 33. And so this afternoon, as our focus remains upon the reality of this pandemic sweeping across the world, our Savior provides us with encouragement and exhortation for days of calamity. Be watchful. Our Lord encourages us to be ever watchful. We consider why we watch, what to watch out against, and what we are watching for. Our Lord encourages us to be ever watchful. Why we watch. Now, many have searched the scriptures, focusing in upon apocalyptic texts to learn about the future. People want to have knowledge of what is going to happen so that they can plan ahead. Divination is not a foreign concept to humanity. People throughout history have sought to figure out what will happen next. This is not foreign to us today either. Whenever we plan a trip, we usually check the weather forecast, especially if it's for an outdoor activity. We plan accordingly. For this very pandemic, there are medical experts, there are epidemiologists working hard on predictions, using available data to try and predict what will happen tomorrow, what will happen next week, next month. Predictions made about what the future holds. And many Christians attempt to correlate what happens in the world of their day to specific prophecies in the Bible. After all, if Jesus says these things are to happen before he returns, then they will surely happen. If wars and plagues and famines are to come, perhaps we can determine exactly when Christ Jesus will return. Pages of scriptures are turned to Daniel, to Revelation, to the Gospels, like our reading, Mark 13 or Matthew 24 and the like. Attempts are made to attach them to specific events that happen in history to make the argument that Christ Jesus must be returning on such and such a date, in such a year. Is this why we watch? Is this the encouragement that our Lord and Savior was providing for his church through these 4 men he was instructing? Only Peter, James, John, and Andrew were with them when he gave this exhortation. That they could predict what would happen in the days and the months, the years to come. That therefore they could somehow gauge how long it would be until Christ would return. And were that even true, how would we make sense of the last verses of our reading? No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father. So if even Jesus Christ did not know, how could he pass on instruction to watch for that particular moment. But that is not the reason for Christ's instruction. Now, while I am somewhat disappointed with the translator's choice in our focal text, choosing the verb see rather than be on guard, precisely because it hides from the reader that fourfold repetition in this exhortation, it is still appropriate for this specific verse, see that no one leads you astray. This is why we watch, brothers and sisters. We need to be seeing. We need to be watching. We need to be guarding, looking into the darkness, that we are not deceived, that we are not led astray. Jesus knew that there would be many who would come, who would attempt to take his people, to lead them astray. He knew that Satan would ever be prowling, looking for a way to deceive the people of the church, to stop them from believing in Jesus, to put their faith in something else. Even something as pious as the words of the Bible. Many would come in Jesus' name. Many would come bearing prophecies. Many would come saying they knew the truth of God's word. It would only lead people away from the truth. We'll cover this more in the second point. So we watch not to know when exactly Christ Jesus will return, nor exactly what will happen on such and such a day or such and such a year, but only that these things will happen. They are indicators of the coming of Jesus Christ. If we are not to be led astray, then we must be on guard. We must stay awake. We must always be ready. This is also why we watch, to be awake, to be ready for Christ's return. The closing verses of this chapter highlight for us that we cannot point to particular events in history as indicators of Christ's imminent return. Indeed, it would be very foolish for us to repeat the mistakes of history, to point to particular calamities as having to have happened before Jesus could return. Was there a war greater than World War I? The Great War, the war to end all wars? World War II came along. Numbers-wise, they had more casualties than any other war in history. Percentage-wise, Genghis Khan, his Golden Horde, cut down more people from Asia to Europe. Is today's COVID-19 pandemic serious? Certainly. It has the potential to become much worse. But compared to the Spanish flu after World War I, killing millions, tens of millions, the smallpox epidemics that ravaged Europe right in the midst of the Reformation, over them all, the Black Death of the Middle Ages, killing approximately 200 million people across the world, wars, earthquakes, famines, desolation, still, Christ did not return. Yet each generation, the same command, be watchful, be on guard, be vigilant. Do not grow complacent, Christ Jesus warned, lest you be led astray, lest you fall asleep. This is why we watch, beloved of Christ. We watch in the hope of Christ's inevitable return, knowing that he will bring his own from the strife and suffering of this world into peace and rest forever and ever. The command to be watchful remains for us today, brothers and sisters. We do not search the scriptures wondering if perhaps this particular pandemic is an indicator of Christ's imminent return. We do not search the scriptures to see if yesterday's news headline was prophesied about specifically so long ago. We keep watch knowing that Christ could return at any moment, that we ourselves are to be on guard. All of these signs are here for our benefit, as much as they were there for Peter, James, John, and Andrew. They are here for our encouragement, that we do not lose hope, that we do not despair at the events of this life. This pandemic, with the suffering that it brings, the grief over the thousands of people who have died because of it, has brought society to a standstill. It has shown to millions of people that their lives are not entirely in their own hands. And it can be used as a wake-up call for the world in recognizing how fragile society truly is, how easily disrupted our little lives can become. A wake-up call that is as much for Christians as for anyone else. Perhaps even more so, for we are warned about this by our Lord God. Brothers and sisters, do not be dismayed by the turn of society. Do not be fearful of this particular epidemic. Wake up. Be watchful. Your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sits at the Father's right hand. He will return one day. He will come to put an end to the suffering. He will come, not at a moment that can be predicted by any particular calamity. That is why we must always be watchful. But to be on guard, we must know what we guard against, what we are watching for, what things we are keeping ourselves alert about. So we'll focus in on Christ's warnings in the second point and the hope that we have in the third point. Secondly, what to watch against. We turn back to the exhortation in verse 5. See to it that no one leads you astray. In other words, watch out for those who would deceive you. Jesus did not want apocalyptic messengers to come preaching that the end was nigh and to cause his followers to lose sight of their end goal. He did not want his followers to become a death cult. There were certainly many of such prophets in those days. And indeed, in the years that would follow, the Jews would follow man after man in rebellion against Roman authority. It culminated in the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. Nations rose against nation. There were earthquakes. Famine struck the lands because of these calamities. And Jerusalem was torn to the ground by avenging Romans. Many scholars even point to these events and say that the words of Mark and the other Gospels pointed to them. And the more critical scholars out there will even say that these Gospels must therefore have been written much later, after the fall, because there's no possible way that people could have been that accurate. But the purpose of Jesus telling his disciples about the woes the world would face was not to cause the believers to speculate about Jesus coming back on such and such a day, but to cause them to be watchful and faithful in the present, in the here, in the now. Jesus even says in verse 7, "Do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet." And again later on, "These are but the beginning of birth pains." The people of God were to be on watch against those who would only focus on the future, pointing specific events and saying that the present doesn't matter anymore. Jesus wanted his people to be aware of what was happening around them so that they would be better equipped today for the trials they had to experience, so that they could know to trust in God even when things seemed to be going wrong. They needed to be watchful, not only about what would happen to others, but also what would happen to them. For the second call to be watchful comes in verse 9, more personally, be on your guard. Keep watch over yourself. Be clear in your own minds. The other three calls in this chapter are calls to alertness more generally. This one here is personal. They themselves would be in danger. Jesus warns them about the coming persecution. This is something that would certainly happen to them. It's something that happens to all believers. Paul writes that to Timothy. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. As the gospel goes out, there will be opposition. There are Christians today who are wondering whether or not the command to stop public gatherings is an attempt by the governments to stop the gathering of worship services as a form of persecution, a way to suppress Christians today. Brothers and sisters, this is not the case. It is not a target upon worship services, but a method to help contain the spread of the coronavirus. That is not to say that we will not be persecuted, but only that this is not presently a method the government is using. Indeed, the language of the prohibition, at least here in Ontario, is worded in a way to tiptoe around our religious rights. Whereas more secular establishments like restaurants and cinemas and concert venues are very explicitly closed. But we will face persecution. God uses opposition to the gospel going out in order to allow the gospel to go out even more. The gospel must first be proclaimed to all of the nations. A government ban upon public gathering itself may not be persecution today, but the impact of the coronavirus may yet cause persecution in another way. How will the unbeliever consider the actions of a Christian during this pandemic? What skepticism is portrayed by unbelievers when Christians have a day of prayer for the pandemic? When society begins to open up again in the months to come, how will people react to the economic downturn it brings? Jesus is very explicit in our reading. You will all be hated. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. Wars. Nations rising and falling, earthquakes, famines, persecution, false prophets leading many astray. Christ Jesus tells us these things through his disciples not to cause alarm, not to cause dismay, not to cause us to run away or to retreat away from society for fear of what is to happen, what is to come. These are things that he encourages us to watch out for, to be on guard against, that we are equipped to deal with them now. So how do we deal with them now? Today has been highlighted as a day of prayer, a call to lift up our voices to God in recognition of his sovereignty, knowing that these things do not come by chance. They do not come because they are somehow outside of God's control, that he cannot protect us from them. They do not come because that's just the way things are. These things come because of the reality of sin, the need for repentance, the promise of Christ making all things new. If we are to be watchful, standing on guard against the fears of this world, we must depend upon our Lord God for his grace and spirit. We believe that our God will provide us with all that is necessary and that he will not deny us when we come to his throne of grace in prayer. When we pray, we acknowledge before our God that we are weak, that we're sinful in and of ourselves, that we need forgiveness of sins. When we pray, we acknowledge that we tend to think that we have life under control. And therefore, we need His Spirit to remind us who is actually in control. Such a pandemic like this can be used by God to point us to Him, to remind us of our dependence on Him, to remind us again to pray for His help in being watchful. We must watch against our own tendency to want control, to know what the future holds, to be able to make plans for tomorrow, for next month, for next year, to set up our lives in a stable society, somehow escaping suffering and the impact of sin. Our Lord and Savior encourages us to be on guard against that tendency, to turn and know that God is in control, to be still and know that the Lord is God. So we are to come to Him in prayer, asking for His help, His support, to live our lives not for ourselves, but for Him. And in living for Him, we have a proper perspective on these things, on this pandemic, on the shutdown of society. We may even see His grace and mercy for the world, knowing that the present suffering will also come to a close as we watch all the more for Christ's second coming. What we are watching for. We do not know when Christ will return, but we do know that He will return. We know that He comes to judge the living and the dead, and that the one who endures to the end will be saved. So we stand watch for that final day. But before that day comes, there are many terrible things that will happen. Things that can even cause us to lose hope, perhaps even despair at the return of Christ. We've passed over verses 14 through 22 up until this point. These verses in the middle of our reading are very specific, particular in their prophecy. They're more concretely pointed to the events happening in the years that would follow Christ's ascension. Contemporary historians recorded the wars, the famines, the persecution, the false prophets. They spoke about how the temple was desecrated twice, overflowing with human blood, thousands of Jews dying. Finally, with the arrival of the Romans and the destruction of Jerusalem, even the temple itself was torn apart, brick by brick. Terrible, terrible things happened in Judea. They were to flee away to the mountains. Jesus even says that if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom He chose, He shortened the days. Beloved of Christ, we know what happened to the people of Israel in 70 AD. But this prophecy does not lose its relevancy. This world suffers because of sin. Sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, and death came because of sin. God is terribly angry with sin, and He punishes people for their unrepentant sin. This pandemic the world is enduring today is but one in a long list of catastrophes the world endures, partly because of His wrath against the disobedience of man. But this pandemic is no more world-ending than any tribulation that has come before it. For the sake of the elect whom He has chosen, He shortened the days. You see, brothers and sisters, God's wrath against the world does not result in the complete destruction of every human being. For he restrains his wrath so that Christ can continue to gather his people. So that covenant call can continue to go out. The gospel must first go to the four corners of the world. The number of God's chosen must come to faith and to believe in Christ Jesus before he will return. The days of this world are numbered. And in the eyes of our God, they are short days indeed. Mere millennia for his son to complete his church gathering work. For ourselves, we do not know when the last of God's people will come to faith. We do not know on which day Christ will return, but we know we are to be on guard for it. We are to look to the signs of this world and know that he could come back at any moment. Perhaps today, perhaps tomorrow, perhaps in a decade, we do not know exactly. That's why we're told to watch carefully. He comes unknown, just like the master of a house could return at any moment. So the servants, therefore, must keep up the task of keeping the household in order for his inevitable return. Our master can return at any moment, brothers and sisters. Are we watching for his return? Or are we distracted with the things of this world? Plans for a stable life today, plans for our work, our family, our homes, our activities and experiences in this life. God, with this pandemic, gives pause to reflect upon what we are truly watching for. If we're watching for the next thing that society can offer us, then we are being led astray. We are falling asleep. There's call for prayer, for repentance. If we're watching for Christ's return, then we may prayerfully face this pandemic in faith, knowing that God uses it for our benefit as well. This pandemic reminds us of two things. First, that he is God. He is in control and we are not. If God wants us to stop for a time, if God wants this world to stop for a time, he can make it happen. There's nothing that any man or woman can do. This is outside of man's control. And that's not reason for despair, but comfort. This reminds us that heaven and earth are not permanent. They will pass away, but the word of God, it does not. Our God is eternal. His word is eternal. His gospel, eternal. Salvation forevermore. He will use also this to spread his gospel all the more. Are you using this pandemic to be mindful of Christ's gathering work? Is this an opportunity to share with your worried neighbors the comfort that we have in the gospel of salvation? That you are not worried about the lack of control you have over your life because you know that Christ is in control of your life. This pandemic also reminds us of the grace Christ has for his people. He does not have us live in complete darkness, not knowing what is to come. He came. He laid down his life. He rose again. He has ascended. He's given to us his spirit. And we can read his word and know that he is coming again. That the trials and tribulations of this world are not by happenstance, are not outside of his control. And we can live today knowing that our lives are not being wasted because of this shutdown, but are rather part of God's divine purpose in ushering in the day when everyone will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. A day where his angels will gather his elect from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. May God use this situation to reorient us, to look to Him again, to realize that His church gathering work continues. May He allow us to be ever watchful, knowing that He has revealed these things to us beforehand. May He allow us to watch and pray for those who need the light of salvation, knowing that for the sake of His chosen, He cuts short the days of suffering. On this day of prayer, beloved of Christ, bring the needs of the world to your God. Know that your Savior comes at any moment, that we are to be watchful. Watchful against the distractions of the world. Watchful against the fears of the world. Watchful against being led astray. Watchful against being asleep ourselves at His return. Watchful for His church gathering work, even in the midst of this trial. Watch for how He uses this to allow you to grow in faith. Watch for how we do not need to live in fear. Beloved of Christ, watch and pray. Amen.